I'm going to read a verse here, verse 2 from out of Jeremiah. You know, historically speaking, Jeremiah is believed to be the prophet that at the time of the going down into Babylon that he took the Ark of the Covenant and hid it. It was about the time of going down into Babylon, into the Babylonian captivity, that these things occurred. The Lord is speaking here to Judah, or he is speaking to Israel. Now, some of you have been into Israel. And as I say so often, we've been there about 6 times and hope to go there this time as a 7th time, whereas I know this has a great significance. And we are looking for something to take place in a great way. All right, Jeremiah chapter 17. God is speaking to Judah. And he's speaking of the sins of Judah. And remember, Israel is typical of the church. And I want you to listen for just a minute as I read these things to show you the strength of sin. We don't think much about sin as people. We do things and we just kind of let things ride along, you know, and we don't think too much about it. Because we think, well, that is too bad. But listen what God thinks about sin. It says the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain and the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hasted from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful days. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I command your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk of our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathens, Who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rocks of the fields, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, walking paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come, and let us devise device against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contended with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. And let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight. But let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Okay, so you see, folks, from this, how severe the penalty is when you play around with God. I know we teach faith, you know. So does preachers everywhere. They teach faith. And people get the idea that all they have to do is just believe, and that's all there is to it. They don't have to do anything else. All they have to do is just believe. And if they believe, then they say, all is well. But I tell you again that the devil believes moves and trembles. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and he trembles. But the Bible said, "Will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" The one thing that we've got to remember is that real, true, genuine faith is from the heart. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And the preparation of man's heart is from God, which means there's no faith unless God prepares the heart to faith. Believing is from the head. I say this again to you. There's millions of people that believe. It's a human infatuation. They go to church, they worship, but the Bible calls it will worship. Whereas you and I have an unction from the Holy One. They will themselves to do these things, and there's no joy in doing it. They do it as a ritualistic, out of the fear that something will happen to them, and then when they are calm and collective from the words of consolation as to the man speaking this to them, they're ready to go back to their gullible way of life and to practice their evils. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. You can't mix darkness with light. You may get real religious and you may think about how religious you are and how much you love God and go right on with your foolishness, with your fleshly ways, feeling that you're all right. But I tell you, as a minister of God, you're going into the lake of fire. God will put you into the lake of fire. Doesn't matter how much you attend church, how religious you are, doesn't matter what church you belong to or how many preachers you've heard, you'll be put into the lake of fire. Because the only way into the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, is by faith of your spirit being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And of course, I hope before we finish our little talk tonight that we can place some emphasis on that. Maybe we can, maybe we can't, depending on how spiritual you are. Here, he says concerning a nation, he says if that nation at any time does righteousness, when I tell them to do right, I will establish that nation. He didn't say if they believe, he said if they do right. If you'll notice it, at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, whether it's the United States or whatever it is, he said, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy. That is, if I decree judgment upon America, he said, and if America repents, if that nation against whom I have pronounced the evil turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. If they repent of their sins, God said, I will bless that nation. No matter if they've been sinful, if they'll listen to the man of God as he speaks the word of God, and they'll repent of their evil, whether it be an individual, whether it be a household, or whether it be a nation. He said, I will bless that nation. I will establish that nation. But if I say that I'm going to bless a nation, and that nation do wickedly or do evil in my sight, he said, I will bring evil upon that nation. Even though I said I would bless them, he said, if they will not turn from their wicked ways, then he tells us that that nation will be cursed in his sight. Even as he said to Israel, he said, Israel, thou art cursed with a curse. Even your blessings, I have already cursed them. I've read this to you numbers of times and spoke to you about it in the Old Testament here, how that this happens. It's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, how that this happens to Israel because Israel will not listen to God. So then, we see here that God, the Lord Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's always the same. And this is his declaration as to what he will do. It's very obvious here that in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he says, it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do, now not to believe, but to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. He said, the enemy will rise up against you, and they'll be smitten before your face. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. He makes that real plain. See, cursed in the city, when the like the wine cup in Atlanta, when it was burned down and the people were killed and jumping out the windows and all of the killing and people being run over and the robberies and all these things. Cursed shall be thy basket, that is the spoil and all of these things, just like as of late. They say that out of South America, is it, or somewhere down there, they're sending in fruit. And do you people better be careful how you partake of the fruits, because they say that there's Sinai on the fruits, that these things are dipped in poison, and that it's something that they've been attacked with down there. Now, if you send it in the States, you may get a hold of it and die. And he goes on to say, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, like the diseases that attack, and constantly there's something happening to the little children, paralysis and all these horrible, hideous things, dying, the hospitals are filled up. And he goes on to say, the flock of thy sheep, the flock of thy cattle, a kind as to the black leg and all these different things that happen. And we could go on and go on. This is the curse, he said, that shall come upon thee. Why? He said, because you don't do the things that I tell you. That's in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Let's turn over here right quick to another thing I'd like to read for just a moment. See, he is telling us that all of these curses and all of these vexations come upon us because we don't do the things that the Lord outlines for us to do. So we find out that we have to do more than just believe. If you believe, that's fine. That's fine. But we're told over here, and it says, but know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Can faith alone save you? Can faith alone save you? James speaks to us, and the question is asked, can faith alone save you? There's no way that faith alone can save you. You're going to have to put some works with your faith. And in doing that, then you can be saved. You can be saved. If you have any works to go with your faith, remember this now. When we speak of faith, remember this. When I say faith, let's term it like this. That faith is when you do what you're told. Faith is when you do what you're told. Now, someone would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that. I believe that faith is a conviction of believing from the heart, while mere believing is from the head as to your human infatuations. But I know that the proof of faith is doing what you're told to do. So a good definition for faith is to do what you're told, because when you do what you're told, it is proof that you believe what you heard. And faith cometh by hearing, and that by the words of God, or the words that you have heard. So then the writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you what I believe by what I do and what I practice. So then James tells us here in the second chapter, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? So I ask you the question. We preach faith. Preachers preach faith. And they say you're saved by faith. So the writer here in the New Testament says, can faith save you? Can it? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Though you say that you have faith, though you tell me that you have faith, though you testify that you are a believer, that you have faith, though you tell the world that you are a believer, that you have faith, the question is asked, can faith save you? The preacher said, all you have to do is have faith. And so you go your way, you say, I have faith. So the question is asked, can faith save you? My brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? So then the question is asked, can faith save you? Yes, faith can save you. How then can faith save you? When you have works to go with your faith. Can faith save you if you have no works? Absolutely not. It's not possible for faith to save you without works. There is no possible way. Aha, somebody says, I got a revelation and I see you haven't got it, Brother Pike. No, what you've got is a brainstorm and like a computer out of control. You don't know what you're saying. That's where the problem is. And you think you know something when you don't know something that you ought to know, and you're going to find when you get ready to cross over the Jordan without your works and with by telling somebody that your teaching is of the devil and that you don't have anything to offer whatsoever and that you've not preached the word of God, therefore you're not one that God sent. But he that God sendeth will preach God's word, and God's word says, can faith without works save you? No. You're going to have some works. And he goes down to illustrate. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, James, and I challenge you to show me faith without works. How can you do that? That's utterly impossible. There's no way that I can prove to you that I believe anything without practicing that thing. I say this so often. If I'm a hunter and I believe in hunting, you'll see me hunting. So then you know my believing by what I practice. So you say, but I come to church, Brother Pike. I know, so that means that you are a believer in going to church. But I'm talking about a believer in going to heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand. There's a world of difference. Nothing less than two different worlds. So then, you may believe in many things. You may believe in fasting. You may believe in praying. You may believe in going to church. But I'm still talking about believing and going to heaven. They say, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and you take no knowledge. And they said, we pray. He said, you pray. Make long prayers. He said, but that's not the right way. So then, what do we do? See, I preach to you the faith here that you have to have. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Thou believest that there is one God. Talking about your faith. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So then that means that wherever the devils go because of their believing, that's where you'll be. Let's give the Lord another hand. All of you believers will go along together. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody says, well, why do you tell us that, Brother Pike? Well, there's hundreds and thousands and all kind of people that hear these tapes from the radio stations and everywhere else. And there's many hundreds and thousands of these people that are caught in the traps of this world. And some of you at Bethlehem, you're no different. You're also caught in this because you're so convinced that everything's well with you and that you are a Bethlehemite that you don't practice putting away evil. You don't practice leaving off the things of TV that's non-virtuous, the things of radio that's non-virtuous, the things in the newspaper, the billboards, the things in books and magazines that's non-virtuous. You don't put these things away. You just do what you want to do and say God is good and God is love. And the preacher says drop in your offerings. Don't forget to pay your tithes. You're one of the best that I got. You come regular. And if anybody is going to make it, you are going to make it. And I want to confirm what he says 100%. If anybody is going to make it into the lake of fire, you're going to make it. Let's give the Lord another hand. You're well on your way. And you just keep up your works of hypocrisy and you'll go right there. To begin with, supporting somebody that isn't preaching the gospel and saying, well, it doesn't matter, the Lord understands. If he doesn't do right, that's up to him. I'm still giving him my money. You know, you wouldn't go over to a rat hole and you wouldn't drop your money into a rat hole and say, well, it doesn't make any difference as to what he does. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, somebody says, now let's don't be eccentric, Brother Pike. Don't talk like that. Don't be foolish. I'm not being foolish. I'm talking about you being foolish. Like the man that said he had a vision. He was giving his money to a certain church. And he had a vision. And in the vision, every time he took his money, he was dropping it into a rat hole. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm not as far off as you thought I was, am I? And, of course, he stopped. He changed his way of life. So then we see here that God is trying to tell us something. Here's what he says. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not, speaking of the father of the faithful now, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Ah, somebody says you're talking about a different faith, Brother Pike. Well, let's look at it again. It says here that Abraham believed God when he had offered his works, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So what kind of faith are we looking for? Aren't we looking for the faith that will be imputed unto us as for righteousness? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right. So we see here why that I read to you the things that I read to you. And I want to stop here. I just want to bring out this little thing. And I want to stop here and say something that you probably won't agree with me on. And maybe I'll not even say it, but I'm going to attempt to say it. Unless the Lord shows me different because it's been on my heart. I may not even get to say it tonight. I may get to say it Sunday. I might not even get to say it Sunday. But anyway, I'm going to attempt to say something tonight that maybe you'll listen at, maybe you won't listen at. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, how many of you believe that the body without the spirit is dead? Is that right? All right, so this is beautiful what James is saying. We find here that he says, and the body without the spirit is dead. So we're speaking now of the body and of the spirit. My, I wish we had time to preach tonight. Take too long. We'll just have to say a few little things and go on. But speaking of the body without the spirit. Now I want you to think this over. We believe in being born again. I believe in being born again. I tell you that that's the way it is, that you must be born again. Jesus said, lest a man be born again, he shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So then we see the beautiful difference here. We are made to understand how to differentiate. To say that you are saved, is that to say that you believe? No. See, to say that you're saved, to say that you believe, to say that you have faith, that wasn't what Jesus taught. What Jesus taught was that you must be born again. You've got to be born again. He said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John, the kingdom of God, is now preached from that time on. And there are people that are being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. They're being translated into the kingdom of God. I say again, up until Calvary, there was no kingdom of God preached because there was no kingdom of God in the earth. Why? Because God is a spirit, and the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. There was a kingdom in the earth, the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of the Jews. There are all kinds of kingdoms in the earth, and the kingdom of Judah appeared to be the kingdom of God, and that these people were subject to God, and it was the act of God in the earth. But all of that back there was actually the act of a man. Though it was they were instructed of God, it wasn't actually the act of God. It was man doing what God had instructed him to do. But now we've come to a time when it is not man doing these things since Calvary. It is God doing these things. And the Bible said it is God within you to do and to work these things of his own good pleasure. And the Bible said it's not you speaking, but it is God speaking. And all of them shall be taught of God. For as it is written, out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God has perfected praise. So then we see we're living in a new day. We're living in a day of perfection. We're living in a day of perfectness. We've come to a different time altogether. This is the age wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. The spirit of just men are made perfect. We're living in a different day, in a different time, and the day is that this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and this is the day wherein the Spirit, speaking of the Spirit, wherein the Spirit of just men are made perfect. So then, are we just men tonight? Am I a just man? Is Brother Taylor a just man? Are you a just person tonight? Are you a just man or woman tonight? Are you just tonight? If you are just tonight, then we are living in the day wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Am I then a just man? Are you then a just man? Is Brother Thomas a just man? Are we just people? The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then we are just men. We are not just men because of our ability, but we are just men because of his ability. I do not have faith as to my works, as to what it will take of me for salvation, but I have the faith of Jesus Christ that is accompanied by the works of Jesus Christ, the works that was finished from the foundation of the world, that I might be justified by faith of Jesus Christ in the sight of God. So then we say, what are you speaking of? They said, Lord, what must we do to work the works of God? Because that's all they'd ever known is the fast and pray. And the ritualistics has to do the works. So they said, what must we do to work the works? He said, I am the works. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. I'm the works. I'm the works. Believe on me. So then there is a faith of Jesus Christ by which we are sanctified. And this faith by which we are made perfect. And there is the works of Jesus Christ by which we, through this faith, are made perfect. That is to say, it takes works with his faith, or faith with his works. If I have works without faith, or if I have faith without works, the Bible said it is vain. But if I have his faith and I have his works, then I have his perfection. So then this is my salvation. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to your faith, and it comes to my faith, This is the faith that James is speaking of. Paul spoke of Christ as faith and Christ as work, by which we're perfected forever. We need nothing for that. That is the gift of God. But when we speak of the faith, as to your faith and my faith, your faith and my faith is void without works. There is no way that your faith will do unless it has works. That's why John said, when we do the things that please God, hereby we assure our hearts. Then do we have confidence toward God that he heareth us. And we know that if God heareth us, then we know we have the petition that we desire of God. So then, James said, your faith without works is not effective. It takes your works as to conformity. Why is this? Because, as I said in one sermon here, as Paul preaches it from the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is the day wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect by a new birth, by a God spirit into a spiritual kingdom on this side of Calvary. As to the other, it is as to the other side of Calvary. As to say, wherein the works that accompany faith brings about our devotion to God, our conformity to God, our perfecting holiness in the fear of God, as to the bodily works being brought to the full stature of the perfect man Jesus. Or that is to say, to be holy in body as well as in spirit. So then I am sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So then I am holy, I am godly, I am perfected forever, my spirit. It's all taken care of. See, he hath made me perfect forever. Now then, I am sanctified once and for all. But then when the Bible speaks of sanctifying yourself daily, I must sanctify myself daily by putting away the filth of the flesh and the things of the flesh, taking on faith by works that will accompany this faith to make my body to conform to him, that I may bring in the redemption of the body. So then, is the body without the spirit, or the spirit without the body? We look here and see that life is in the spirit, so the body without the spirit is dead. And we see that on that side of Calvary, as to the Jews, it that pertaineth unto them as unto the adoption. And they have the spirit of slumber, because the Bible said Lazarus sleepeth. And so then they are asleep. Someday God will go to awaken them. So then they are with slumbering eyes, and they are asleep. And on that side of Calvary, there must come a redemption of the body, or the calling forth of them that we say are dead. So then we call them out at the coming of the Lord. They're called out of the graves. Whereas we are changed in our body, and we come out of the slumber that we're in the sense of this outer man being dead and buried with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, having put off the old and having put on the new. We therefore consider our bodies to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Calvin, we've been baptized into Christ, having put on Christ, in that we're baptized for the dead, and when we come forth, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, and I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Therefore, we are the temples of the living God. So then we see a daily sanctification. We see a daily believing. We see a daily sacrificing as to come out from the world to be a separate people, to make our body whole, to redeem this body, to bring this body in by that power of God, which is already on the inside of us by new birth, that come through the faith of Christ, and is being released from within as to glory to glory, as to change to change, as to understanding, from knowledge unto knowledge, until this outer man completely surrenders up every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that the body may be changed completely, and the helpless creature, as to the body, may be changed into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So we see the difference in what God is doing. You have a work to do, and God hath the work to do. You have a faith, and God hath the faith. You have a perfection, and God hath the perfection. Your perfection is not sufficient as salvation to righteousness in His sight, but it is sufficient as unto salvation and righteousness through the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ and the sanctification of Jesus Christ. So that we see God doing a great marvelous thing. Man's work is not rejected as of such, so long as it is given through the sanctification of the blood. But otherwise, it's rejected. I am thus made perfect, not of my own ability, but as of His ability. So then Abraham offered up his son. And it was said that by faith, Abraham received the salvation of God. By faith. What caused this? Was it then the work in offering up the son? It was the faith. That's what saved him. It was the faith in God. Offering up the son is not what saved him. It was the faith in God. It was his faith in God that brought the Spirit of God down into his heart to purify his heart by faith. It was his faith that compelled him to offer up the son. Was it building the ark that saved Noah? It was the faith that saved Noah. Someone would say, but building the ark is what saved him. Bodily speaking, we see him protected. But suppose there had been no faith, would he then have built the ark? No, he would not have built the ark. So that it was faith that built the ark. It was faith in God that prompted him to do what he did. So then as in that day, so it is in this day, it's faith in the Word of God. When the Word of God came unto him, Noah believed it. When it came unto Abraham, Abraham believed it. When the Word of faith came over to Rahab the harlot, she believed it. And through all of these things, faith caused them to be saved. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt and went over to Canaan, was it works that saved them, or was it faith? As to the prophet, like Jesus, Moses, it was the word of faith. And when the word of faith came unto them, they listened, because Moses said, and thus saith the Lord. And they followed the word of faith, and by faith, they forsook Egypt, and by faith, they crossed the Red Sea, and by faith, they went through the wilderness, and by faith, they crossed over the Jordan, and by faith, they established the kingdom over in Canaan. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then we see the graciousness of God, the greatness of God, how that by faith He hath wrought all these great, wonderful things. So then is James saying that it is not of faith? He's not saying that. He is saying, brethren, when you say that you believe, you know that you're playing a game. He's saying that when you say that you have faith and you don't have any works, he said, show me your faith. He was saying you don't have any faith. See, what is faith? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I have prayed for certain things and I didn't get an answer. I didn't get an answer. And someone would say, well, that's because you did not believe. No, that's not always right. That's not always right. See, that is to say, is it because you did not have any faith? That is, you was not a believer? The Bible said, cast not away your confidence or your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. See, it doesn't mean that you're not a believer because you didn't get healed or you didn't get what you wanted. It didn't mean that you wasn't believing. But one thing that it does mean, it means that you didn't have any strength to your believing. Now, someone would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. It just simply means that you don't have faith. All right, let's put it to the test. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So then you prayed and you didn't get healed. Now, if I ask you to raise your hand, there'd be numbers of you in here that would have to raise your hand, to be honest. But then if I ask you if you was a Christian, your hand would go up. Now how is it that you say that you don't have faith when you are a Christian? Well, how can you be a Christian without faith? It's very obvious that you have faith or you couldn't be a Christian. So then if you say that you have no faith, then why raise your hand and say that you are a Christian? And yet you say that you did not get healed because you did not have faith. So it's very obvious that Satan is playing with your mind and toying with you, and you don't understand. Because if you had no faith, you could not be a Christian. Therefore, because you are a Christian, it means that you have faith. So then you say, well, why didn't I get healed? Then it must be God's fault. It's not God's fault at all. You say, but God violated his word. He said, if I had faith and I believe, I'd be healed. That's true. That's true. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Just faith as a grain of mustard seed. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, for sure I must have that much if I can be saved. You can have that much and be saved. That's true. And have enough to move the mountain. Or for sure, if you got enough to be saved, you got enough to move a mountain. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So again, we get funneled up in our mind and we say, well, what does this mean? It means one thing. It means that you can utilize your faith and your ability in one direction and not utilize it in another direction. See, it's so much easier for you to utilize your faith and an ability to say, well, God said I'm saved. The preacher said I'm saved. I feel like I'm saved, so that settles it. I believe I'm saved. Whether you're saved or not, you don't really know. You don't have any real proof that you're saved. You don't know whether you're believing or not, so it's so much easier to say that. But when it comes to working a miracle, when it comes to opening blind eyes, when it comes to unstopping deaf ears, when it comes to making the lame walk, when it comes to making the mountain move out of the way, you know, you can look and you don't see that happen. So you can determine as to what kind of faith you got, or whether you have any kind of faith, or whether your faith's active or not. And so we say in the world, you're betting zero. You understand what I'm saying? So then that means that there's something that you don't understand. And that is that faith can be utilized in one area. As unto salvation, you can utilize this faith and this ability. As unto one direction, as unto salvation, and turn and try to utilize it in another direction and not be able to utilize it at all. But the same faith that saved your soul, that took you into the kingdom of God, the Bible said, and were translated into the kingdom of God by faith. And the Bible said Enoch was translated that he should not see death, that by faith. And the Bible said, and those of old have their dead raised from the grave because of faith. And all of these great things happen as to stopping the fire. All of these things happen as to stopping the powers of the enemy, all by faith. Joshua commanded the sun and the moon by faith. The Red Sea opened up by faith. All of these things happen by faith. See, we have that same faith of today. If that faith isn't here today, then that means that God's whole program is void. Would God then give greater faith to the people in the wilderness that didn't even have the Holy Ghost than he would the church? How could God then say unto the church of today that you are greater than they that was before the law? For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. None greater than John. Yet he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. How is it then God could say that you're greater than John and you don't even have the faith of John? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. So we get fuddled up in our minds again. And so what does all of this mean? It means that we're not understanding. We're not understanding. The Bible said with wisdom get understanding. See, do we have this faith? Of course we have this faith. For the Bible says, speaking of them that was under the law, and Paul being a Jew put himself with the crowd as to those of that was under the law, the group. So he said, and we were under the law, and the law was a tutor. It was our schoolmaster to bring us under grace. For we were coming under the faith. The Bible said, and the faith, not your faith, but Christ's faith. And the faith which was to be delivered unto the saints at the coming of the liberty of the sons of God. So then we were under the law, under the time of the bar mitzvah, as to the chains, as to the tutoring, which is Calvary, though you might never have comprehended it. So then as to this, then there came the tutoring. as unto this, and then from that time on, now the faith is here. Even the faith of Jesus Christ, by which ye are sanctified, being made perfect forever. So then we see this wonderful thing taking place. We are now children of the faith. So the faith is here. So we do have the faith. So this wonderful faith is with us. So we can't deny that this faith is with us. Then why is it that we don't have the benefits and privileges of this faith? Simply because we do not apply ourselves, going back to the faith, not of the faith of Jesus Christ, but of the faith whereby you are supposed to put works with your faith and conform as to bring the body into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, or the creature that's travailing, groaning, bringing it into the change, that is to say, the human body. That is to say, you're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not submitting, you're not conforming, you're not studying, you're not sacrificing, you're not coming to this wonderful, beautiful thing that God has for you. Therefore, your bodily being is not being partakers of it. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, we should be more so than they that are under the law. I know that. But the thing is, you don't sacrifice like they did under the law. You don't fast like they did under the law. You don't conform like they did under the law. They, even without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, as to a gift, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, but yet not as a gift. But even in this, by sacrificing in their body, by conforming in their body, by doing the things they did with their body, it made them more powerful than the church of today as to the utilization. Oh, somebody says, now wait, Brother Pike, this can't be. You can't talk like that. But listen, the Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their ways than you are, as the children of light. Not that they're wiser as to the wisdom of the potentiality, but in that they are in their utilization. So then we see there is a misunderstanding, so we're flooded up in our minds again. So we go a little further and we ask God, what is this? Why is this like this? It's simply because we do not submit as God has commanded us to submit. Therefore, we do not reap the benefits. And think about this, children of God. You reap such a tremendous benefit as to the grace of God and the blood being on the seat of atonement. It is so great, the mercy is so great, that even the people of the world are reaping the benefits of this wonderful compassion of God. See, it is so great that you do so little and reap so much. Think what would happen if you did the things that they did back under the law. If you really got down the business to make your body to conform, to sanctify yourselves daily, to believe and put works with your faith, to where this thing would begin to break out into your outer man as to the virtues of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus went into the wilderness, driven of the Spirit into the wilderness, and the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. So then, are we eligible for the power? I say this again. The Bible said, when you shall receive the Holy Ghost, then you shall receive power. So then he had the Holy Ghost. He returned in the power. You have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but that was Jesus. But Jesus said, these things that I do shall you do, and greater things than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. So then here is our privilege, and we live under the privilege. We don't do the things that we should do. Therefore, we don't reap the benefits. And there is such a proselyting in the world today, all over the world. And there's such hypocrisy in preachers, because they see the glamour and they see all these things, and they want the preeminence and they want to be the great leader, and they want the money and they want all the things of the world. And so Satan, he gets into the ministry and he transforms his mind to have congregations and great followings and all of these kind of things. See, he does this. He's got ministers all over the world. And that's why that I said what I did when I first come in tonight, because I felt things wrong when I was downstairs. See, that means that we are not getting into the Spirit to be led of the Spirit. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So then when we come to church, we're led by the Spirit. When we go to sing, we're led by the Spirit. When we go to listen to the Word of God, we're led by the Spirit. When we go somewhere to do something of God, like the writer said, don't send me up to battle, Lord, lest your presence go before me. Because you're not going to have any victory. There ain't no need to go battle against the devil. You're not going to overthrow the devil. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said resist him and he'll flee from you. The Bible said, draw nigh to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Don't try to resist the devil until you draw nigh to God. You get close to God and you be filled with the Spirit and then go out into battle with his presence before you and you'll be the victorian every time. Let's give him a hand. All right. Can somebody say hallelujah? So then what is our problem, beloved children of God? It isn't that we're not sanctified. It isn't that we're not perfected forever. It isn't that we don't have this great power or potentiality on the inside. But yet we're still barren. Why? Because we're not submissive as to our own works in God, as to be able to believe strongly in his faith and in his finished works. As to the conformity, as having a will, the Bible said, let us also have a performance. So then, what is the problem in general? What is the problem? The problem is one thing, and that is the strength of your faith. The strength of your faith. It isn't that you don't have faith, but you must have strength with your faith. You must have strength. Can we then say, as the seed, as the mustard seed, the power to move mountains? Absolutely. I was in Israel not too long ago, and I showed David a mustard seed. I made mention of this since I've come back from Israel. And it's so tiny you could hardly see it because it was a speck. And I said, David, Paul, I want you to see this. And some of them filmed it. I think they got this on film. They magnified the seed. I said, now this is the mustard seed. I said, now, the Bible says, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. David may be up there, I don't know. Yeah, he's up there. Okay, he's listening. All right, now, faith is a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And David marveled. Anyone would marvel to look at that. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, for sure I must have that kind of, at least that much. How could I have salvation otherwise? All right, let's look at it for just a minute. What is he saying? They said increase our faith. Increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. You could say, as pertaining to the new birth, increase us in our new birth. I could say to you, if you ever was, if you just had the seed of birth, you'd bring forth to perfection. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. If I drop just a seed of corn into the field, if that's fertile ground, I'll get a harvest out of it. I'll get many grains out of it. Jesus was saying, if you just had the seed that produced faith, you don't have to tell me to increase your faith. Oh, that is to say, where is your faith, he said to them when the storm arose out on the Sea of Galilee. If you just had the seed of faith, just this tiny seed, this mustard seed, from this little tiny speck, a huge tree will grow. And the fowls of the air can come and lodge in the branches. And we were standing nearby to the tomb of Lazarus, and just over near Martha and Mary's house, just beyond there, there was a big mustard seed tree. It was a tree. Had come from that tiny little speck. We say big trees from little acorns grow. Have you ever noticed how huge a tree can grow from one acorn? That is to say, Jesus was saying the potentiality of Almighty God lies within this no bigger than a speck. If you had a speck, one speck of faith, you would have the potentiality to move mountains, to raise the dead, to unstop the deaf ears, to make the lame to walk again. If you had the potentiality, just one tiny speck, this, of course, would be enough to move a mountain. But again, we go back to the strength. As to the strength, does a baby have strength? No. A baby doesn't have any strength. You can do it anyway. But let it grow. Give it a little time. Let it exercise its muscles. Let it flex its muscles. Let it build its manhood. They've been known to break ropes. When the strength was so great, even the wrong kind of strength, there in the tombs, the land of the Gadarenes, the man broke chains. When the strength was the right kind of faith as to the increase of this great faith, which came from God upon Samson, he picked up a lion and rent him like you would take a little tiny goat and just break him all to pieces. Because of this strength, see this great strength, the Bible said concerning Abraham, his secret was, the Bible said he was strong in faith. He had a great strength to his faith. The Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And one of the things we have to remember in our strength is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And folks, you can't do the things of the world and mess with the things of the world and have any joy. You're going to be under condemnation. There isn't going to be any faith. But you live holy and you live virtuous and you live pure and you're going to get a confidence. John said, doing the things that please God, hereby you assure your hearts, and the confidence is going to rise that you're with God and God's with you, that you respect God and God respects you. And there's going to be something that you don't have to try to manufacture, not try to work up when you get into the church. All you're going to do is just going to look up like that, and you're going to be so close to the Lord like Jesus was, doing always the things that pleased the Father. His heart was of such condition when he walked over to the tomb of Lazarus, where I showed David this speck. He walked over to the tomb of Lazarus, and he just looked up like that toward the Heavenly Father, and him and his Father were so close together till he just broke up on the inside and began to sigh. The connection was so sure that just looking up to heaven, he sighed. And that sigh, the Bible said, go through the city as to the prophet. Go through there and mark them that sigh. And here he looked up and the Bible said he sighed. As he looked up to heaven, he sighed because he knew that anything that he desired of God, that God would give it to him. And he just looked up and he said, Father, I know that thou hearest me. Have you got a testimony like that? And the Bible said, hereby we assure our hearts, and we know that he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, we have the petition we desire of him because we do the things that please him. And Jesus just looked up and said, Heavenly Father, I know that thou hearest me, and I know that thou hearest me always. I'm not saying this because I don't think you hear me. But I want them all around to know that I'm not doing this of myself, he could have said. I want them to know that this is God working through human instrumentality. And that this is the act of God, that it's not me, that they won't give glory to the flesh. But I can do nothing of myself, but always the things that I see my Father do. That is with the eyes of understanding. So he said, for their sake I have said it, Father. That is, I've acknowledged you, Father, so they'll know the act of you. Because, he said, I could have just said, Lazarus, come on out without even talking to you. Because I know you hear me always. But he didn't do that. He looked up and he said, Father, thou hearest me. And then he turned to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, Lazarus came out of the tomb, bound hand and feet. He came out. And he just, the power of God just picked him up, brought him out of that deep entombment, set him out there, and Jesus said, now there he is, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. You know, that's the way it is. Brother Thomas, he's brought us out of the tomb by the sanctification of Christ. No works, because Lazarus was completely bound, wrapped up in grave clothes. And that's the way we were. See, when the vision came to me in Florida, I was wrapped in grave clothes. These old bodies, as the first man Adam, is nothing but grave clothes. In Adam all died. But see, when Lazarus came out and stood there, God had done his work. And then he said to the others, now is your work, as to the ministry, as to you, or whoever, said, now you loose him and let him go. So then, I said that to say this. Just a tiny speck of faith. If you will cultivate it, if you will work with it, if you will give it opportunity, the potentiality will begin to grow. And like that little child, Christ being formed within you, he'll be stronger and stronger and stronger. And finally, he'll overcome the infiltration of Lucifer that's in your outer man as to that mind of the child of bondage that's in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. He'll break that web, and after a while, Christ will be standing there. And as Paul said, it is not you living, but Christ that liveth within you. The life that you then live will be according to the life of Jesus Christ. So then, you understand what I'm saying? That means that as long as I am working with my faith, that potentiality is still growing. Jesus said if you had the faith of a grated mustard seed, you could move a mountain. All things were created by faith. All things exist by faith. And so then faith in the word, as you believe, Jesus said you can say whatsoever you will and don't doubt in your heart and it'll come to pass. Then he said decree a thing in your heart and you can have it. Ask what you will in my name and I will do it. So then it is very obvious that what the Lord is telling us, that it is the lack of strength and the lack of a concentrated effort in any direction as to the utilization of this great God ability. It is the lack of that, and that is why you do not have what you want. One of the writers said, and ye ask and you receive not. Ye ask and you receive not. Ye ask and you receive not. We're always asking. But we receive not, he said, for one reason. Ye ask that you might consume it on your own lust. You know, make me a preacher. Put me on television. Let me be great. I've got a lot to do. Everybody ought to see my face. And I got to hurry. I got to hurry while I look nice and handsome. Let's give the Lord a hand. Just like somebody saying, I want to be rich. I want to be rich. Daddy, he works and works for many, many years. And he gets a home and he gets land. He gets, he gets comfortable through life. And the son comes along, you know, he says, I'm going to make me a million. Gonna make me a million. I gotta have a million. He can't work like Daddy did. You know, he's gotta have a million. He wants to be a playboy. He wants to be a pretty boy. You know, Sissy, she wants to be a pretty girl. She wants to be on television. She wants to be everything but a dishwasher. Let's give the Lord a hand. Born to be a dishwasher. Well, Cinderella. Cinderella that Prince Charming went looking for. All right, so then we see the Bible says, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not go unpunished. And anybody getting riches hastily, the Bible said they shall be cut off in the midst of their days, for this is wickedly. And in the end they shall be a fool, for riches will make them says wings and fly away. But it says riches gotten by labor shall increase. To take your time to work, to travail, to bring forth, and let God give to you as the years go by, God will bless that. But the other, God will take it away from you. He will kill you and put you in an early grave. That's why you've got so many ministers falling on their face. Falling lofty. Satan has lifted them up. Satan's jewel crown, as the song says. They've been lifted up. They've sold their souls for the worldly attire. So they have these great clubs and all of these other things. And they're still in the flesh. So Satan just eats them like worms with their passions. And then they fall and all of the world sees. All of them goes down. But as it was with Paul, he spent his life, his early life, studying and praying and doing something for God. And then was brought out to go another 3 years or more, night and day, to stay before God that he might be a fit subject to do the things of the Lord. But these others run around not knowing what they do, like a bunch of people that run as one that beateth the air, and just looking for a following, looking for an income, looking to project themselves. And all they do is become a thorn in my flesh. And there was a thorn in Paul's flesh. And they're a thorn in God's flesh. And they always will be like that. So then I thank God for his blessings. I say this a lot of times. A lot of young interns could work under a leadership as to a physician. I know of many of them to do that, and they are great in what they do as pertaining to the world. And it is so when men follow leadership, if it is one man or another man that God has raised up and give him understanding, and if those men follow as the disciples did Jesus, they'll become great men, because when they run into a tight place, all the world calls it a box canyon, they can turn, they can contact leadership and go right on to this great
tree can put out many branches and they can do great things. But if they go off on their own and they're going to do these things and they're not going to listen and they're not going to communicate with them that are taught in these things, they're going to run into a corner and they're going to say things because they're going to be forced to give answers because people are going to ask questions. And then a few days later, they're going to find out how ignorant they was and that they gave their own opinion and caused the whole group to lose confidence in them because they realize they don't know what they're saying. You know, a young intern can go up there and rip a man open, and he can operate on him. He can butcher him. He can put 95 stitches when it wouldn't have took but about 5 stitches. You know, there's a lot of butchers in the land today. They can get you into the altar after they butcher you to death. You know, if they have to butcher you and drag you down there like a dead cow. But I'm just saying one thing, that God has always had a church of leadership, a church of instruction. God has always had people that are sitting the church as one church, not many churches. And all of these denominational branches is nothing more than rebellion out of different people that have come in and broke off from the true church, from the true and the living God. And God has suffered it that it might just be a faint light to catch the attention of many of them out in the world, to turn them into the direction that they may start toward the light, and then God move them through those things, sift them as he brings them through those denominational powers, and brings them on and on and on, and the church that they come through doesn't realize that the elect has already passed through like in kindergarten and has gone on to the next stage of learning. And so then when God brings all of his elect through all of this, he'll bring them together in one unit, as he's doing today, into one church, one body, as it was in the early church. And all of these denominational powers will become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, because they've conformed to all of the societies of the world and the things that are of the flesh, and they have no idea that God has moved the elect out of them. And they're all bastard children, and all of them are what the Bible speaks of as gathering them into groups or gathering them into bundles that he might throw them into the fire. Let's give the Lord another hand. So it's a wonderful thing that God's doing for the elect. And he's bringing us through as to those that have faith in God. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. Whatever you do, have faith in God. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't say that you don't have faith. Don't stand up and say, well, I don't have faith. Don't do that. See, stand up and say, by faith in God, I can and will do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And strengthen your faith. Strengthen that remains, lest God comes and moves the candlestick. Strengthen it. For Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So then, are you fully persuaded? Do you have full confidence? Are you partial? That is your strength as to your persuasion. Let's stand together. Let's strengthen that remains. Let's strengthen our faith in God. You've got faith. Let's strengthen that faith. All men don't have faith. They might be a believer, but they don't have faith. But the Bible said God has dealt unto every man the measure of believing as to faith. Not that all men have faith, and yet all men believe. All men have faith as to believing. I say this a lot of times. You can't even put on your shoes without believing as to the ability. But all men have not faith as to the faith of Jesus Christ by which you're sanctified. That's why the Bible said, let us contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints. And they were shut up under the law unto the faith which was to appear after Calvary. Even the faith wrought by Jesus Christ as to the sanctification that the Lord has brought to pass. Can we sing a chorus together? All right, let's sing together. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank God for you. This is why I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, that I may present you to the Lord Jesus Christ without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and present you wholly unto God, body, soul, and spirit. So then, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, that I can present you to God as those that are virgins to Christ, as chaste virgins, Paul said. At the midnight cry, the virgins went out, both the wise and the foolish, the wise who had kept their virginity, and not going to the world, but being holy and godly and pure, giving themselves in an espousal unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is foolish, went out into the world to do their own thing and lost their virginity. And thus they became part of the body of the great Tohu, all the betrayal. So then let's sing unto the Lord. Can we sing? Once again, sing, I love him. Let's sing that song. I like to sing this song for the simple reason that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. So then in your faith, let's find some works, folks. Let's learn how to fast. Let's learn how to pray. Let's learn how to sacrifice and give. Let's learn how to do something for others. Let's look on others to esteem others better than ourselves. And let's seek the welfare of another. And in the faith of Jesus Christ into the sanctification, let's believe with all of our heart to the extent that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Though when we stumble, when our faith fails, when all these other things fail, the Bible said if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart. He knoweth that we're sanctified, we're his elect, we're his predestinated. But the thing is, the Bible says if our heart condemn us not, then do we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask of Christ, this we receive of him, because we do the things that please him. Can we sing that together? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me now. I love him. Just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book. Can you sing that with me? Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, in every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line.
and we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in this book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sweep over my soul, the altars are open. Sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Well, I need him. Oh, I need him. Every day I need him. I need thee now, precious Jesus. And oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. Oh, how you need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Come into my heart, oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing that with me? Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything, so we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't want a diamond rings. All I want love of Jesus for to me. He's it. Can you sing that with me? So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want everything. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy. Sing that with me, can you? Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And after the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy in my soul. Say more. Tomorrow, be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And the rain falls, the sun shines, I'll be happy. Happy in my soul. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows, they lengthen so fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
when I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Been winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call a set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. So come home, come home, it's supper time. You're going home at last. You know why? You see the shadows over the evening time. You see the shadows, they'll grow longer and longer and longer as the sun, as the light begins to go out and drop behind the horizon. You see it, the shadows getting longer and longer. Shadows are typical of demon spirits. And toward the evening time, as to the light of the gospel beginning to withdraw, see, as knowledge grows greater, more is required as men do less, then the light is pressed out and grace is pressed out, because you can't have grace. Grace is that great light. And you can't have that great light, Jesus Christ, even God, the Spirit of grace. You can have it when you know to do good and do it not. For the Bible said to know good and do it not is sin. And we're beginning to be taught many things, and we know to do many things, and people aren't doing it. So that's sin. So grace withdraws. Grace withdraws. Grace abounds where there's no knowledge of good and evil, until there comes a knowledge. And when you don't know, it's not much required. The Bible said to whom much is given, much is required. And the servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. So then, as the light begins to withdraw, remember, it won't withdraw if you know righteousness. And you do righteousness, you can be born to the extent of that light shining within your strength. Jesus said, as the sun shineth within the strength. So then, when you don't do that, the light withdraws. And when the light withdraws, then the shadows lengthens. Shadows are typical of demon spirits. That is to say, sin gets its strength by the law, and devils reign and rule by knowledge. The more you know and the less you do, the more bound you become. That's why the Bible said coming into the supper that you'll be bound hand and feet. Because when you come into the supper of charity, that is God's given love for nothing that you do, then you know and you don't do, you don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ as to righteousness, then you haven't put on the body of the Lord Jesus, you haven't been born again, you haven't been baptized into his death, then that means that the devils get stronger and stronger and the shadows lengthen and the devil becomes bigger and bigger than you are. Bigger and bigger. And soon you're like the spider that's caught in the web. The web spread, the dewdrops of the morning, the beauty of it, the enticement, and soon you're over there, and then you're bound in the spider web. So then we sing the song, come home, it's supper time, for the shadows are lengthening fast. And as the shadows lengthen, the darkness comes in, and it gets more weird. More weird, especially like me and Betty, sometimes we've been in a strange country. Many people that we don't know. And if we're out at night, a lot of times, just about even, we've seen the shadows lengthen, and then they catch us. We wouldn't get home, and we'd be caught in the night. And it's a frightful sort of a thing, you know. Except that you know that you've got God with you. We sing these songs like this one we're going to sing now. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find
Jesus, and He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. Sing it with me. For standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Do you love the Lord? Gone that stone, roll back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and He lives forevermore. For He's gone, and the storm will burn. Gone to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, all the death triumphant, gone, sin is and He lives forevermore.
Let's sing this little chorus. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well.
Jesus gave her water, and it was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to town. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, came back bringing others to the water wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, she went off the tail. She went away singing, came back bringing others to the water. Daniel, sing that with me. For Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, she went forth to tell. She went away singing, came back bringing others to the water. Hallelujah. Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, she went off the town. Went away singing, came back bringing others to the water. It wasn't from the well. Let's give him a hand.
Hallelujah. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the world. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm longing for my Savior to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, who will come take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ the King, who will come and take me to my home up there. Up there where angels, can you sing that with me? For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, who will come and take me to my home in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Can you say hallelujah? Let's lift our hands up together. While we're standing here in the presence of God, how sweet, how sweet. We sing the song, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes in a meditation and sing that together, can we? Sweeter each day, grows sweeter, for each day His love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day, sweeter each day. It's growing sweeter every day. His love growing sweeter. We walk along this way, and all through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. Much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. Precious, more precious, sing that with me. Oh my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter
than the morning star. You are fairer, fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, more precious. Sing that with me again. Oh, my Savior, sweet Savior, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. Much fairer, fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, more precious. One more time. Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer, fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, precious than gold.
Okay, let's sing this chorus.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. The lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. The lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star, and he is the first of 10,000. Everybody.
Let's slip our hands up together. Close our eyes. If you've not made the commitment to the Lord, let me encourage you tonight. Always stand here with our hands lifted up to heaven, acknowledging the Savior, knowing that He loves you, that He gave His life that you might live, knowing that the abundance of His blessings is upon you. You that come to the altar night after night, night after night, you come to the altar and you stand here in the presence of God, and we sing together, we praise God together, we worship together, saying, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are, brighter than the morning star, fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way, precious, more precious than gold. And the Bible says your faith
is more precious than gold tried in the furnace. And cast not away that faith. Don't cast away that faith. But have faith in God. Have faith in God, folks. Whatever you do, have faith. Make an effort to believe. Have faith in God. If you want something from God, remember, you ask to consume it on your own lust. That is your own desire. So you don't get it. You ask and you ask amiss. But ask for the glory of God. Ask to use it to do something for God. Ask. I say, Lord, I've got to go overseas. You said in your word, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathens for an inheritance. There'll be jewels in my crown. See, so he asked. He says, ask of me. So I do. And then I say, Jesus, I don't have the money to go overseas. And I don't want to bother anybody. He says, ask of me. Ask of me. Ask and I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. The only reason I haven't blessed you is because thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and kept thee back from good things. My hand is not short. It's not short. There's no problem, folks. He says, I can get to you. I can get to Brother Pike. I can get to Brother Taylor. I can get to you, brother, sister. My hand is not short. There's nothing wrong. Thine iniquities have kept thee back from good things. It's the wall of petition. I've smitten it at Calvary. And I've taken it out of the way. Even the keeping of ordinances as to having to serve by the law. I've done away with it. I fulfilled it in my body. I rent the veil in two as to your flesh. And I've come straight into your spirit and your soul. I'm at the door knocking. Open. I'll come in and I'll sup with you. I'm the door, Jesus said. So then, you're the door. You rent your own flesh at Calvary. And the door is open. John saw it in heaven. Hanging between heaven and earth, the door was open. And you gave Peter the keys. And Pentecost brought in the first church. And both to the Gentiles and to the Jew, Peter opened the door. So, he stands at the heart's door and he says, if you will open to me, I will come in and I will sup with you. And you can sup with me. So then let's take the iniquity out of the way. Let's believe beyond our faults and failures. And he said, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. You'll have to share it with somebody. So I say, Jesus, what must I do? He says, believe. I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Why do you want to go into the islands? Why do you want to go overseas? And I say, to glorify your name, Jesus. To tell people about your love. To pray the prayer of faith, first of all, that people might be healed. And Lord, I'm doing it all together for you. Doing all things as unto the Lord. And he says, son, according to your faith. Whatever you desire, go on and do it. I'll stand with you. So I just go on by faith. And the Lord takes care of every bit of it. I said he takes care of every bit of it. Supplies all of my needs. And not only that, but he gives me the desires of my heart. He makes my cup to run over. And every day, we share with others. We share with others. Isn't Jesus good? Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. What a wonder you are. God is so good. I was just telling David Paul that just in one or two things that we've done, put well over $40,000 in just that one crusade in the Philippines. I'm not talking about the money I spent to go over there and back. The money Sister Betty spent to go over there and back, and the money we had to live on while we were there, and the money we gave away. And the money that Brother Ron and Brother Don and Brother David and Brother Frank and Brother Mike and Brother Joe, the money that they spent going to and fro. We're not talking about all of that as to thousands of dollars. Just as to the last 7,000 we sent in the last few days, as to what we'd already give of 33,000, not counting the other 3,000 or 500 that was given in toward that as to Juanita. See, and at the same time, I had to pay tens of thousands of dollars on the home front, as to take care of the home front, as to share on the home front, as to whatever was required on the home front. I had to pay that too. I had to keep that up too. But you know what? He meant it every bit. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. That's why we sing this song. The Bible said he's called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And that's why we sing 1-1-1. That's why we sing these songs, just one way to God. And that's why we sing this song that we're going to sing as we close our eyes and lift our hands. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus, to sing of his love, to sing of his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonder. Can you sing that with me again? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonderful love, and we'll give all the glory us to sing of his love, to sing of his love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus and sing of his wonder. While you got your eyes closed, hands lifted up, thinking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus. I'm going to ask Eugene to come, if you will, and pray tonight. While Eugene comes to pray, while your mind is on the Lord, hearts wrapped up in the Lord, I say again, examine yourselves. See that you be not reprobate, but that the Lord is in your heart, and that you feel his goodness and his love. Isn't it wonderful to go away from the sanctuary not feeling condemnation, but having a new strength in God to face the week or the coming day? To go out as sons and daughters of God, knowing that you're not trying to become sons and daughters of God. You're just trying to behave yourself. And you're trying to please your Heavenly Father, to be about your Father's business. And that you don't want to do anything wrong to grieve him. Knowing that you are his lovely sons. Going out with this confidence and this strength, that you may overcome Satan. For remember, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then Satan is not your master, but you are Satan's master. You can boldly say to Satan, Satan, I am your master. You're not my master. I am your master. Get thee behind me, Satan. I am your master. You cannot by any means hurt me. You cannot even touch me, Satan. I am sealed in without spot to wrinkle or blemish. As we sing the song, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? I am your master, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Do you love the Lord?